Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining us. Well, Pope Benedict left Rome Saturday morning for a pastoral journey to Australia. His first few days in the country, the Holy Father will be resting after his long journey in a residence outside of Sydney. The public side of the papal visit will begin on Thursday, the 17th, and culminates with World Youth Day celebrations Sunday, July 20th. Well, now, coming up over the next half hour, we look at a newly restored but very ancient mausoleum in the necropolis beneath St. Peter's Basilica. But first, we introduce Episode 7 of a 26-part radio drama in which Jill Bevilacqua draws from the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's letters, just in time for this Pauline year, a program produced by Sean Patrick Lovett.
Episode told of the efforts of Simon Magus the magician to discover and buy the secret of the apostles' powers of healing, how an Ethiopian was converted by Philip the deacon, and how Saul was struck from his horse and blinded on the road to Damascus, and afterwards entered on a totally new way of life.
Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing threats to slaughter the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus that would authorize him to arrest and take to Jerusalem any followers of the way, men or women, that he could find. Suddenly, while he was traveling and was approaching Damascus, there came a light from heaven all around him, and he fell to the ground.
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Who are you?
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
What am I to do?
Get up now and go into the city, and you will be told what you have to do.
In today's episode, you'll hear how the converted Saul has to flee from Damascus to escape the fury of the Jews, how he is introduced by Barnabas to the apostles in Jerusalem, but is once again obliged to leave town.
Then God, who had specially chosen me, Saul, while I was still in my mother's womb, called me through his grace and chose to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach the good news about him to the pagans. I did not stop to discuss this with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were already apostles before me, but I went off to Arabia.
Thank you. Ananias!
Oh, there you are. I thought I'd never find you.
What is it, Judas? You look worried. Is someone ill?
No, nothing like that. It's Saul. I can't find him. He's nowhere in the house. I thought maybe he'd gone to see you.
No, I haven't seen him.
You don't think he could be in the synagogue, do you?
No, I've just come from there.
Oh, I don't like him going up there on his own. He's made enemies already. It could be dangerous.
Saul can take care of himself.
But there are even more of our own people who are still suspicious of him.
They'll come around eventually, when they see how he lives. By the fruits, they shall know them, Judas.
Yes, I suppose you're right. It's just... Oh, I don't know. He goes into it with such vigor, such abandon, as if he didn't care what happened to him.
That's the way he's made. He's a firebrand, doesn't believe in half measures. But don't worry about him. Our brother Saul is no coward. And you're forgetting something.
What's that?
The Lord is with him.
Yes, of course. But where's he got to? Let's go and see old Silas, the tent maker. He's a friend of his. You know Saul's a tent maker himself.
No, I didn't. He's so reserved about his own life. Never talks about himself.
Down this alleyway. Here we are. This is the shop. Hey, Silas!
My husband is out. What can I do for you?
You haven't seen Saul this morning, have you?
Saul? Not this morning. He was going at first light, he said. They finished the tent last night.
Where did he say he was going? Not back to Jerusalem, surely.
Oh, no. Said he was heading south, into the desert.
The desert?
That's right. Said he'd be away some time. He said he was going on business. And Silas lent him his old mule.
I don't understand. He never said he had business to do, and... Why the desert?
I'm afraid that's all I know.
Ananias, what does it mean?
It's very simple. Our brother Saul is on the Lord's business. He's being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, like the Lord Jesus.
When he who had set me apart before I was born, and had called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus.
Who's there?
It's me, Judas. He's back. Saul's back. Come quick.
Just a minute. That's it. Come on in, Judas.
No, I won't stop. But you must come too, Ananias. Saul's preaching in the synagogue. He's got them all in the palm of his hand. Every time they make an objection, he's got an answer for them. He's like a man inspired.
He is a man inspired, Judas. So... Saul has come into his own. The Lord has shown the might of his arm. God be praised.
And Saul's power increased steadily, and he was able to throw the Jewish colony at Damascus into complete confusion by the way he demonstrated that Jesus was the Christ. Some time passed, and the Jews worked out a plot to kill him. But news of it reached Saul. To make sure of killing him, they kept watch on the gates day and night.
You weigh more than a...
Shh! Don't talk, Judas. We still got to get past the guards.
No, we don't. We don't have to go down to the end of the wall. We can haul him over halfway down. Look, there's a window in the wall, see?
Hey, what's the delay?
Shh! It's all right. You comfortable?
Have you ever traveled with the laundry?
Right, let's go. You ready, Ananias?
Ready. One. Two.
Up she goes!
God be with you, Brother Saul.
There we are. He's down.
Let's wait to make sure he gets away. We don't know if they planted anyone on the other side.
No, I sent one of our young people to check with the traders who go through regularly.
Shh. I think I can hear something.
That's him. He's out.
Thank the Lord. Now we must get back to the city.
That's beautiful. Are you going to play it at the breaking of bread tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought it was, you know, a way of celebrating my, what do you call it, receiving the Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's so good to know you are really one of us at last. I had begun to wonder
whether I might change my mind? No, I knew it was only a matter of time. But there was my father, you know. It wasn't easy. He'll never really accept it. He's too attached to the old ways.
But we belong to the future, Mirian. And our children.
Our children?
What was that?
Something in the hen house. I hope it's not that fox again.
Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes. That make havoc on our vineyards. For our vineyards are in flower.
Dear, that's my mother. I must go.
Oh! Whatever. How did you get in?
Aaron, be careful.
It's all right, young lady. I'm not armed. You must excuse me. I mistook my way and fell into your hen house.
Are you a stranger to Jerusalem?
Not exactly. I used to live here. I was a pupil of Rabbi Gamaliel some years ago now.
I know you. Your soul. The fanatic. You were there when they killed Stephen.
Please. I know. I was a persecutor of the Church of God. But then, something extraordinary happened to me. I was on the road to Damascus.
Oh, dear, I really must go now.
You go, Mirian. We shall meet at Mark's house.
You must forgive me, but I need to see the head of the church here. Cephas, or is it Peter? Do you know him?
I do see him sometimes.
I understand your hesitation. If you would allow me to explain...
I know who you should see. I have a friend called Barnabas. We shall go together, and you can tell me your story.
Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas.
When he got to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They could not believe he was really a disciple. Barnabas, however, took charge of him and introduced him to the apostles.
Is he with? I can't believe this man has changed his ways. Remember after Stephen died, he persecuted so many of our people.
Yes, I remember. Every day he was dragging someone off to prison.
I don't believe he really wants to be one of us. It's just another way of doing it. More subtle, if you like.
Yeah. Now, I don't see how we can possibly accept him into the community.
Yes, but did you hear what Miriam was saying? She was sitting there quietly with Aaron, and this character just drops over their wall.
Go on. No.
Yes, fell into the hen house, she said.
What a no. nerve! Sounds like a common thief to me.
Well, he looked pretty rough, she said. All covered in muck from the hens. Oh, there's Aaron talking to him now.
And isn't that Barnabas with him?
I'm telling you, Saul is a chosen vessel of the Lord. No, you needn't worry. He'll take no one's place. His course has been set for him. His path is marked out. I tell you, friends, the Lord has appeared to Saul and has given him a mission. And we may not stand in his way.
Tell us, Barnabas. Tell us what the Lord has spoken to Saul.
And so Barnabas explained how the Lord had appeared to Saul and spoken to him on his journey, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Saul now started to go around with them in Jerusalem, preaching fearlessly in the name of the Lord. But after he had spoken to the Hellenists and argued with them, they became determined to kill him.
When I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and then I saw him. Hurry, he said, leave Jerusalem at once. They will not accept the testimony you are giving about me. Lord, I answered, it is because they know that I used to go from synagogue to synagogue, imprisoning and flogging those who believed in you, and that when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I was standing by in full agreement with his murderers and minding their clothes. Then he said to me, go, I am sending you out to the pagans, far away.
And when the community knew of the plot against Saul, they took him to Caesarea and sent him off from there to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it was multiplied.
You have been listening to the seventh episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Anton Alexander, Eleonora Baldwin, Thomas Bevan, Maya Glickman, David Horton, Buck Heron, Don Hodson, Robert Mickens, Eileen O'Neill, Clive Rich, Helen Sterling, and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Luciano D'Andrea. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
And this programming note, due to the papal journey to Australia, episode 8 of the drama To the Ends of the Earth will not be broadcast next week. Tune in again, though, on Saturday and Sunday, the 26th and 27th of July, to catch episode 8. year round, tens of thousands of pilgrims and tourists file through the doors of St. Peter's Basilica and the Vatican Museums for a glimpse of centuries of artistic masterworks. But how many of them know that just around to the left side of the basilica, there's a set of stairs that take you down to the very bowels of the earth, to the tomb of St. Peter himself? More and more people have discovered the Vatican scavi, or excavations, of an ancient Roman necropolis and early Christian burial site beneath St. Peter's Basilica. It can only be seen by small groups of people by appointment. Though excavations have gone on under the basilica for decades, archaeologists probably aren't even close to revealing all the treasures lying beneath it. The latest work among the ancient Roman tombs is actually a labor of love to restore the 2nd century mausoleum of the Valeri to its former splendor. The mausoleum is one of the most beautifully decorated tombs beneath the floor of St. Peter's Basilica, but humidity and earlier restorations had left it in a precarious condition. A team of archaeologists, art historians, and restorers worked 10 long months on the restoration project funded by the Foundation for Music and Sacred Art, a nonprofit organization active in the restoration of precious works of church art and masterpieces. Lydia O'Kane spoke with the general director of the Vatican office responsible for St. Peter's Basilica, St. Peter's Fabric. Dr. Maria Cristina Carlo Stella told her a combination of modern technology and simply a passion for artistic beauty came together to make the work a success.
It was extremely important. We had, in this particular mausoleum, which is really a very unique example, perhaps in Roman funerary art, we had quite a series of urme. These urme that are like caryatids on the wall surface, many of them, quite a number of them, were falling apart. And why? Because of the humidity, because of materials that was applied in the 1950s, which was not durable, which was not suitable for that kind of restoration. So just the hermit itself really needed very badly restoration. The other thing is that the humidity level, we have placed a monitoring system to keep the humidity level balanced. The problem with that is sometimes in the past there were imbalances in the humidity level, and this created the growth of these microorganisms, these various types of microorganisms, fungi that actually were attached to the wall surface, and very slowly they just disintegrated it. So there were areas of the mausoleum where it really needed a lot of work. There were two major difficulties. One is to actually prepare that environment of the mausoleum, make it adaptable for the restoration. And that was quite difficult because, of course, it's not very spacious. So mechanically speaking, there were difficulties there. Technically speaking, meaning the methods of restoration, that was extremely difficult in certain areas where where cement had been applied on the wall surface way back in the 1950s. What happens with cement is that it hardens, and when it hardens into the wall surface, you begin the cracking between the surfaces. And so to get that out between the cracks was extremely difficult. And this is why in this occasion, a laser technique was applied, and the results were absolutely excellent.
So there was a lot of modern technology used for this purpose?
For this particular restoration, yes. There were very specific drills that are usually used for dentistry, and this kind of drill was applied for the restoration. And the second thing is a very specific type of laser that was applied. So thanks to these two technical mechanical instruments, the restoration was able to reveal these results.
How much of a labor of love was this particular restoration, and how happy are you with the result of it?
It was a great labor of love. I think that basically if you go through even the first comments of the very first archaeologists who started excavating this Vatican Acropolis, they all commented, and I'm talking about Ferrua, I'm talking about Kirschbaum, I'm talking about Guarducci, they all commented how special this mausoleum was, not only for the stucco surfaces, but also for those fantastic, beautiful marble heads that were found that most probably were made of Greek marble, which was an extraordinary find. So all of them commented that this was really the key place, besides the tomb of St. Peter, but this mausoleum of the Valeri, as well as the mausoleum of the Iuli, are the two key places of the entire Vatican Acropolis. So we had waited for funds for many, many years to do this. When I came 5 years ago, I've been working in the Vatican for 20 years, but I started here as head of staff 5 years ago. That was the first thing that really was in my heart, to find enough money to actually complete a very good restoration that could also guarantee a sustainable development of the entire necropolis, but also of this particular environment. I really want the visitors who walk in the Vatican Necropolis to absorb that beauty and to really understand the intrinsic value, the spiritual value. It is a very spiritual place. Art is a very spiritual thing. Art is. It's supposed to elevate your consciousness to something beyond. And so the Vatican Necropolis is quite unique in that as well, because besides these really extraordinary, beautiful environments of these funerary chambers, all these funerary chambers lead to a very sacred place, the tomb of Peter.
Dr. Maria Cristina Carlo Stella is the General Director of the Vatican Office responsible for St. Peter's Basilica, St. Peter's Fabric. That brings today's program to a close. I'm Tracy McClure, thanking you for joining me for the last half hour. Tune in again tomorrow at the same time and on this same channel for the next English feature program, or you can hear us at any time of the day or night by clicking on our website. That's vaticanradio.org. Just look for the English service. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions, so send us an email. We appreciate snail mail, too. Just send us a note to the English Service at Vatican Radio, Piazza Pia 3, Vatican City, 00120. Again, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.